Hello and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. Today it's the Quick 9 edition as we run through each game. And before we do, remember it's not too late to sign up for free footy tipping at the game. There's a grand up for grabs every week for the round's top tipper. It could be you if you get involved at thegame.com.au. All right, let's get stuck in. It is the Hardball Gets Quick 9 edition. My name's Chris Robinson, joined by Jackson Barrett and Jake Colvin. Boys, how are we doing?
Hello, Robbo. Good to be back. How good to have a full weekend of footy. How good was that?
It was great. Do you know what I'm looking forward to this weekend as we welcome in Jake? How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, mate. Thanks for having me back.
And I was going to look this up before I came in, and I've only just remembered now, so apologies, because I was going to look this up. This weekend coming up, 8 games, 0 overlap. When was the last time we had a round this long, not just like a 4 games, 6 games? We've got 8 games this weekend, 0 overlap. Because Saturday is 3 games back-to-back, Sunday's 3 games back-to-back. How good? Because last Sunday was great, right? No overlap.
How good's just Sunday footy? Just being able to sit on the, well, maybe not so much for you guys.
We were flat out.
We did have a lunch weekend. But for nuffies like myself, you can just sit and park up, have a bit of lunch and just lock into 3 games of footy if you really want.
And it was literally 10-minute gaps, 15-minute gaps. One game finishes, the other one starts.
That's the way it should be. But, I mean, we've had a full allotment of games now and obviously Brisbane and Carlton aren't playing this week. Now this is where a lot of the overreactions start. Now I find, Robbo, and it's not very much like footy fans to latch on to a small issue and pretend
you're coming in hot with an overreaction.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
I think so. Like, there's been a lot of heat on Collingwood and Brisbane, and rightly so. Like, they look a little bit sluggish. Brisbane were pumping Freo at one stage, I think, by 4 or 5 goals.
First four goals,
and then they've obviously lost that game by 3. I think it's about 20 points in the end, roughly. And Collingwood didn't look good at all on Friday night. Mm. They got soundly beaten by the Swans, but I just think we need to give these teams 4 or 5 weeks to get in the groove of things. And I've done a little bit of analysis just on the last 3 years of how grand finalists have performed the next year, going back to 2021. So in 2020, Geelong and Richmond played in the COVID premiership at the Gabba. The next year, they both started 2-2 in the first month. So not crash hot, but certainly,
disastrous.
Not disastrous.
Sure.
The next year, Dogs in Melbourne, they obviously played 2021 flag over here in Perth. And then 2022, Dogs started 1-3. And Melbourne started hot 4-0, but then we know what sort of happened towards the end of the year. They went out in straight sets. And then 2023, Cats started 1-3 and Swans started 2-2. So there's only been one team that has had a good start to the season in the first month. Not to say that excuses what Collingwood and Brisbane have done so far, but I think, can we just give it a chunk of the season and let them sort of figure it out? There's definitely some glaring issues with Collingwood and Brisbane, but can we just settle a little bit on these teams? Because they're good. They've got good pedigree.
100% get it. I think the thing with Brisbane is more that they are missing pieces as well.
Like, absolutely.
We learnt on Sunday just how important Coleman is, and they're yet to replace someone that...
But should one player dictate everything?
Sometimes.
Like, I feel like halfbacks...
They shouldn't, but in this case,
halfbacks are very important. I get that. It's the new sexy position. Everyone wants to have one of those sort of streaming halfbacks that can break the game open with their kicking. But I think, like, if they had lost, you know, Danaher and a couple of power forwards and a ruck or something like that, then maybe, like, those key sort of positions. But it's not like they've lost, like, their top... Like, Kitty Coleman's not a top 3 player at Brisbane, top 5 player at Brisbane. He's probably on the cusp. He could be, but...
You can make a case for top five.
It's just a position that they didn't have guys to replace him.
Something
like
different.
McKenna, like, his ball use just not quite as precise. Like, it felt at times they tried to go through the corridor and they just didn't have that guy that could hit that kick.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to see.
It's also got that loopy little kind of like Irish throwback kick where it's always loopy.
Yeah.
It's salvageable. Like, I mean, Sydney, they started 0-6 in 2017 post that Dogs
finals.
Grand final. They made a semi. So they got pumped in that semi. But it's not all doom and gloom. I think Collingwood, on SEN, they were talking about who would you rather be right now, Collingwood or Brisbane. A lot of people said they prefer to be Collingwood because it's fixable, which I do agree as well. But I'm not going to judge Brisbane and Collingwood until I see a month of footy first.
How good is this bye, though, for Brisbane? This is basically
perfect.
The equivalent
reset
of
button.
You're watching a basketball game, your team starts, it's like a 6-0 run or an 8-2 run or something, early timeout, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
That's basically what this is for Brisbane season. It's like early timeout, let's figure out what we're doing, let's figure out how we're replacing Coleman, let's get our spark back. Before we get into it, Tassie team review has happened since our last pod group was on the airwaves. Are we happy with, I mean, this was the dollar one option that it was going to be Devils and traditional team colours. Were you happy with how it all went?
Yeah, fine.
Yeah, I think so.
Didn't overthink it?
I found seems to be a little bit of back and forth and perhaps misunderstanding. It sounds like that jumper won't be their like actual home jumper.
It's so the foundation.
The great reveal, and then it sounds like they might wear the map once or twice a year. I kind of enjoy that because, I mean, the feedback out of Tassie on the jumper is these aren't guys that have grown up in Tasmania. Like, they're mostly going to be drafted or traded to the club. So sure. I kind of agree that maybe it should be maybe the colours but with a devil.
They probably needed to make that clearer on the night.
They didn't make it clear at all. But I think if they did make it clear, it's sort of like this is the look we're running with. Remember GWS were in like a blue and white sort of number? I think if they just said
Footscray colours.
Yeah, this is what we're working with until we release something else. I think people, because that was sort of the major criticism, wasn't it? Mm. No, I like it. I like the Devils. The Warner Brothers conversation must have been fascinating.
Yeah, then they realised that it's an actual animal. They weren't just trying to steal it.
That can't be right. I saw that. That cannot be right.
I hope
it couldn't have taken that long in conversations have come up that this is an actual living thing.
You would have thought the Tassie Devil would have been thrown around once or twice at Warner Brothers, and surely someone's plugged it into Google at some stage and gone, that's an actual thing. But apparently not.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah. No.
So Thursday night, St Kilda Collingwood to kick off the round. So we're going to get a really early look at Collingwood 2009 grand final rematch, that epic one. Ross Lyon still hasn't beaten Collingwood.
2010,
I should say. Yep. What did I say? 2009. Geelong. Obviously, we're going to look at the Pies. The Saints coming off a five-day break, which is going to be a concern. They get Jack Sinclair back, which is good. Did you guys notice Liam Henry had like 8 centre bounce attendances in the last quarter for St Kilda? So Ross obviously trying to inject a little bit of pace in that last quarter against St Kilda, against Geelong, I should say. Obviously getting Sinclair back helps. Are we all confident the Pies bounce back here or not massively?
I am. I think newsworthiness, like, this is the ideal Thursday night game. We get Collingwood who are under the palm. We're still probably waiting to learn a little bit about St Kilda. I wondered with the Henry stuff, like, Ross has obviously put a lot of trust in these runners, in Henry, in Bonner, out of the blue on the weekend, in Hill, in Wanganen, Miller. I mean, I imagine those CBAs probably end up with Jack Sinclair now that he's back. So looking forward to seeing what that mix is like. I didn't dislike a lot of what St Kilda did, still don't really know where they're sitting. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, can you really take anything out of being negative on teams that when they go down a skilled stadium, can you...
GMHBA.
GMHBA.
It's the second straight week you've disrespected the stadium.
Can you really walk away from games and go, if you've lost by 2 goals down there, like, as a supporter, I don't think you can ever be disappointed. Like, I know you want to win every game you play, but, like, how many teams, like, I don't know what the record would be for Geelong over the last 15 years, but, like, would the percentage, win percentage be 75%, 80%.
It'd be north of 75. 80%. It'd be somewhere
so
in the
80s. So it's like, how many teams?
Freo's pretty good down there.
Yeah, Freo's
not good
yeah.
down there. But like, Freo's the only team that has had reasonable success in the last decade down there
as a regular visitor.
2 or 3 notable wins. So.
So are we all taking Collingwood?
Yep. Taking Collingwood. Yep.
Yep. I'll agree with that. Friday night footy, Adelaide Geelong. So this is also a really good game. Patrick Dangerfield against his former Mob. So it sounds like the Texan is set to return, which obviously bolsters that forward line that just did not fire a shot in those first 3 quarters. Don't think Geelong would mind going in after that one on Saturday night. What did you take away from the Cats?
Look, for me, the Cats, they almost found their groove a little bit. I think they've got their swagger. They lost a little bit last year with numerous injuries, and they just looked a little bit flat and deflated from that premiership win, losing Joel Selwood, and just finding their feet again. Playing your first game at home certainly helps, and especially down at GMBHA, or how you say it down there.
All those letters,
letters out of the alphabet. Yep. But they found one in Ollie Dempsey. He looks like he's going to be a fairly good player. Holmes looks lively. Dangerfield played a sort of vintage Dangerfield game on the weekend. But is it concerning how valuable Taylor Walker is to this Crows attack still? Like, he's an unbelievable player. He finished 2nd in the Coleman last year.
Yeah.
2nd in the Coleman. Like, still a gun player. Mm-hmm. But, like, when he's not there, Adelaide look completely different, which is, for me,
and
hugely
Thorpe
concerning.
Not there as
and
well.
No thrill Thorpe. So, wet game against Gold Coast, again, going out there. Really tough fixture for Adelaide.
Off the travel, 6 days.
They came back, looked positive towards in that second half. But, geez, few concerns for me.
Remember last year we kept saying Geelong weren't getting enough out of the role players that carried to them the flag the year before. Mm-hmm. Tom Atkins really good. Jack Henry really good. They've found something in Ollie Dempsey. They've turned Max Holmes into something that could be pretty special. And they got like a proper Dangerfield performance. So,
how many Dangerfield performances are you going to get like that this year? You don't know, but certainly it's trending in the right direction.
You give yourself a good chance though if you go back to Adelaide and he plays the Crows. There's always a little bit extra for him. I'm taking the Cats here as our friends at Tap Touch have him as $2.64 outsiders, which I think is nice value. I'm taking him straight up. Are you guys rolling with that, or are you just happy to take the Crows?
I think I'm taking the Crows.
I've got to take the Crows just due to the way that they finished that game, sure, and they actually had a bit of fight. And
they
I think
did find
they
something, didn't
bring
they?
Bring that back into yep. these. But it'll be close.
The first of the Saturday games, as I mentioned, no overlap. How good. North Melbourne hosting Fremantle. So we get a first look at the Dockers on the road. Jai Simpkin probably back for the Kangaroos, which obviously bolsters them. One of the big questions for Freo, obviously, how do we cover these injuries? Josh Draper is someone you would have had a really good look at during a lot of time on watching the track, Jacko, and yep. Also Peel games. Do you think he's first in line as that key position back? And tell us a bit about what he brings, if so.
I think it sounds like he is. He still doesn't quite strike me as like a guy who's got the body to play AFL yet and that key position type. So I think you'd still be looking at guys like Luke Ryan playing up a little bit. I spoke to Alex Pierce in the change rooms after the Freo win on the weekend, and Josh Draper was the first name that he threw up mm-hmm. when we were chatting. Potential backline options, they need someone to cover there. I imagine probably Tabiner is leading the race for the forward line. If that's the way they wanted to go about it, they could always go someone like a Sturt for that more sort of like lead up, slightly smaller target down there. Draper, like athletic kid, good mark overhead. Just the body leaves me a little bit nervous about his sort of durability, especially because Cox and McDonald, both long-term injuries, right? Yeah, like these aren't
huge double blows.
Well, this can't be a sugar hit fix. They're going to have to find something to fix that for the year.
Pending everyone's at full fitness, would you say Cox is a top three most important player at Freo?
Yeah.
Probably Sarong.
Third or fourth.
I've got Cox Amos up nice and Brayshaw. Mm-hmm. If you've got both Darcy and Jackson fit, I think like they kind of like interchange with each other. Obviously, you lose Darcy, you've got Jackson. So in terms of importance, like
he's
they can't lose Amos because they've got no one to replace him. So Cox for me, I'm actually tipping an upset this week. I'm going
with
North.
The Roos?
Yeah, I'm taking the Roos.
Yeah. Well, Cox second in their BNF in that year that they made the finals two seasons ago tells you a lot.
I don't doubt it will take Freo a little bit of time to get this right. I think they probably win this one, but it'll take a bit of time to settle down again.
Yeah, I'll back the Dockers with you as well. Hawthorn and Melbourne in the middle game of Saturday. We know that James Sicily's going to be there after it looked like he wasn't going to be there. Are we happy with the Tribunal call?
Oh, I don't know. Like, I've watched it a lot on replay.
There's been a lot of replays.
There's been a lot of replays.
Great that they had the roaming camera, so you were kind of like right there with it. That was terrific. Big tip
for
the roaming camera.
I'm happy with the result of him. Like, I just don't think you can suspend him for that. I didn't think it was that bad.
The minimal contact.
The minimal contact, it's fine for me. And if they lose Sicily, their back line is worse than North Melbourne's not much worse, but it's probably in that level of
Toby Pink areas.
Toby Pink areas, yeah.
I'd be all for finding a way to stamp that out of the game real quick. It's up there with tripping. It's just like it's just not a football act. It's just a bit shit. But in that case, the minimal impact, I don't think you can ban a guy for that. I liked a lot of what Hawthorn did on the weekend. Obviously, they were probably the better side at different times in that Essendon game. If that forward line clicks it at some point, that could be serious business. Like Ginnivan had heaps of it, lots of chances. Nick Watson didn't get near it, unfortunately, but we believe he's going to be something really good. D'Ambrosio, good. The back line clearly is the worry. And, I mean, Melbourne sort of answered all our questions, didn't they? Like a lot of the worries that we had about Melbourne going into Sunday was sort of
could their forward line find their groove against a Hawthorn, which could prove to be a bit leaky in defence. But does Josh Weta remind you a little bit of Grant Birchall? The way
I'm a big Josh
Weta
man.
He's probably better in the air than Birchall, but very similar sort of movers of iron. It reminds me a bit of Grant Birchall, who's peaking. He was one of my favourite players.
Yeah,
well.
It's an old favourite player.
So this is just a big tick for Melbourne, right?
Yeah.
Non-negotiable.
Nice price as well.
I love that line from you, Jacko. Not a football act, just a bit shit.
Yeah.
That sounds like me running around in the Channel 7 Cup 20-odd years ago. Sydney hosting Essendon Saturday night. So the Swans are obviously the well, just about the biggest story of the first 2 weeks of the season, 2-0. Fourth straight season, they've started 2-0, Swans. Fast starters out of the gate, even though they haven't been terrific through that entire stretch. And they're not just tick the boxes 2-0 as well. Melbourne and Collingwood, two really, really good opponents. Can't see them tripping up here at home against the Bombers,
like,
right?
Just, Essendon, for me, like, they've got a couple of nice pieces, but they just don't. They don't evoke any like positive response. Like, even if they start 4-0, I'm just kind of like, it's Essendon. I think they haven't changed. They're not going to change the narrative until they physically win a final for me. I think, is it really worrying if you're a Bomber supporter that Goldstein...
Just yes, full stop, without yes, even continuing is, yeah. that sentence. But yeah,
and I've
yeah,
got a lot going. Of Bomber supporters in my life that Goldstein's... I'm not dropping Goldstein for Draper anytime soon.
So they're both playing, Brad Scott said today.
Are they both
they're
playing?
They're both playing.
So why?
I don't
Why
quite
do you
get
need
it.
Both of them?
I don't think Draper... I've never been completely sold on Draper, and I can't see him offering just enough as a forward to warrant it.
Mm. If Draper didn't have a mullet, would people care about him as much?
It's a good question.
He's kicked a couple of good goals, and I think that's boosted the profile. But he's a... average at best, like he's a middle of the run ruckman.
Is he a top 12 ruckman in this comp?
Probably not. He's athletic around the ground and he does some okay things, but he's not Max Gawn or Luke Jackson around the ground. He just doesn't excite me at all. And I don't understand upending your structure to bring him in. If you think Goldstein's your number one ruck, Goldstein's your number one ruck.
I can't see them playing the whole season with both of those guys.
No,
I don't think so.
I don't think that's sustainable.
It just reeks Max Gawn, Brody Grundy, and that they're going to come to the realisation pretty quickly that they've got to change it.
Archie Perkins renaissance or coming out party, does that do anything for you in terms of the Parrish on ball? Like, are you fiddling with that? I don't know if he's playing this week, Parrish. Is he?
I thought he was likely.
It's in the mix.
So,
but there's no reason why Perkins can't just be one of those four guys who spend the bulk of time running through there.
I don't 100% understand the argument that there's not room for all of them because Ben Hobbs didn't play on the weekend, so Merritt, Parrish, Perkins. That's your starting midfield.
Setterfield and McGrath a little bit through there.
Yeah, but they can roll through there.
We turn to Sunday. So the Dogs and Gold Coast is a really intriguing matchup, and it happens at Mars Stadium of all places. What did you make of the Dogs last week? And let me throw a name at you that popped up in the coaches' votes this week as the lowest profile guy to get a coach's vote this week, absolutely. Lockie Bramble.
Yeah.
He was the first easily player on my list.
Easily the lowest profile guy to get a coach's vote. Could walk past the podcast studio right now and we'd be like,
who's
Lockie
Bramble? Hawks? I think Hawks.
He was at the Hawks, yeah. Gave him a bit, obviously, out of defence.
Well, like Luke Beveridge is... he's a bit polarising in terms of what you think of him.
A bit polarising.
If you ask Tom Morris, you might think he might say a few choice words. But I think with the coaching selections here, the player selections, like Caleb Daniel for me, he came on, I think he had 12 touches, 3 clearances and looked like Caleb Daniel.
Mm.
Like, and Jack McRae I don't think was 100%.
He wasn't,
I'm sorry, like if you're wanting to challenge and make finals, you've got to find a way to get those guys to the next level because there's a few guys that a lot of sort of fair weather fans would have no idea who these like Dogs players are, like Bramble, Gallagher, or Gallagher?
Gallagher.
But also, as the guy said earlier in the week on the
McNeil.
Pod, if you've got Riley Sanders and you're talking him up as one of the best prospects you've ever seen, don't overthink it. Just play him for a full game.
Yeah. I don't understand why they subbed him off. I don't understand why Daniel... Yeah, just a couple of... interesting bits and pieces.
Like Riley West and stuff like that. Mm. These are all fine players, but like I think if you're in the window, which I'm sure they think they are, others might not think so, but if you've got Bond and all these like really good generational players, like Jamara is going
to
be a star.
You've got to cash
in. Norton's really good.
English.
Let's just play and prove, let them almost unpick themselves. Like if they're not up to it in the first 4 weeks, let's not start round one with those guys. Like Caleb Daniel has been a star of this competition for the last sort of 4 or 5 years. Like playing.
Quickly on the Gold Coast, this is a really sneaky, important, super important game for them because Gold Coast away from Gold Coast has always been a liability. This is a chance to turn a decent start into a great start, 3-0, beat a team that might also be vying for a final spot. Massive for them. I'll probably lean towards the Suns. Are you guys thinking the same?
Mars Stadium, I think I have to pick Bulldogs.
Okay.
But
I think I'm the same.
I reckon it
might be the toughest to tip. It's a tough round to tip, actually.
I'll roll with the Suns. I'll take the form. Richmond hosting Port Adelaide, the Jay Schultz Cup. Jake, as you'd be aware.
The Mitch Farmer Cup as well,
Mitch
actually.
Farmer,
yeah.
There's that's a name good. That was once relevant that I haven't thought about for a long, 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 long time.
Appreciate it.
as the resident Port fan, take us through. What do you want to see that is a slight improvement other than goal kicking?
The nervous thing for me is Finlayson and Marshall kicked 0-7 between them, and Marshall finished the season horribly last year in front of goal, but he was really good. He was really good for the first sort of half, two-thirds of the year. So I don't know what sort of happened there. But, I mean, I said that before we went live, Jacko, just I guess the evolution of what Kane Farrell's turned into. His first sort of few years in the league, he was a half-forward winger, a bit of a goal sneak. His kicking on the weekend was like those two bombs from sort of 55 and 60.
Yeah.
Like every team wants a player like that.
Super dangerous.
And they've got two with Houston.
Yeah. So he's only ever going to be a 15 to 20 touch player. But if they can go from being, or like Farrell goes from being sort of a B minus player, if he can be sort of that B plus, A minus sort of in that role, that could really lift the ceiling for Port. On Richmond's side of things, Gibkiss going down, and then they lost another one as
Prestia.
It could get pretty grim pretty quick for Richmond. But if Port, again, are going to be a serious team this year, I think they need to just tick the box. Last week they ticked the box. They should have won by 80+, but I think for Port this week, even if they walk away by two or three goal winners, it doesn't mind. Just need to go to the G, tick the box, get it done.
I think Richmond fans would be really pleased with what they saw on Thursday night, but the cost of it all, and a little bit like Freo in a sense, like the cost of it all now is going to really, really hurt them. They're going to find things pretty difficult over the next month because, I mean, it probably means Noah Bolter back, and he had been serviceable as a forward and supporting Tom Lynch, who looked okay but just underdone and faded out of the game. And then the midfield, there's just not enough depth there. I think they need to have a look. I want Trezise, Sonzi, Tom Brown, Thompson Dow. I think they just need to have a look at these kids now and do a bit of a stock take of those sort of guys with Prestia out and Taranto and Hopper not setting the world alight.
We all happy with Port?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I'll tip him, yeah.
And the last game of the round, West Coast hosting GWS.
Oh, boy.
Just amazing to believe that this exact fixture last year, round two, that the Giants got done over here
to,
by
to
West
be
Coast.
Fair,
they were missing a few, I know.
They played Adelaide at the showgrounds and it was absurdly hot.
I remember.
Had concussions, hammies, and then to do the travel to
Perth. But then the counterpoint is West Coast in 2022 and 2023.
They at least had something to work with. This is before all the huge injuries hit. They at least had something. It's still bad, but like I can see how they lost that game just with what GWS. It was more on GWS rather than Eagles being good, I think.
So Oscar Allen being out is the main headline here. That's going to hurt. West Coast defence as well kind of went under the radar because of Port's horrible kicking. But our friends at Champion Data, the Eagles conceded a score 70% of Port's inside 50 entries.
That's three in every four.
The ball was going in there and there was a score. It's the worst. So just take this in. It's the worst Eagles result since 2017. So think about all those poor games that they played 2022, 2023. This one was worse by that metric than all of those.
And the scary thing there is the back line is the one where the experience is.
Yeah.
There's the McGovern, Barras. Yeah.
There's still five premiership players back there.
Yep. Yeah. And then they spent all summer talking up Hunt and Hoff. And
when it comes in that quick, there's not a lot you can do, though. Like, did you watch the kickouts? Well, as we just touched on, Houston and Farrell's kickouts.
A couple of those
coast-to-coast
goals.
Just training drill stuff. Yeah.
Training drill stuff. Yep. But, like, I think for this week, I'm very concerned as to how they're going to score. Darling looked pretty bad off the pace. Like Simpson's already dropped Gaff on a Monday. You'd think Chesser probably just starts as a winger. But what were your thoughts on that, by the way? Like Simpson basically conceding that Gaff's not going to play this week.
I think it was
Monday.
A comm strategy more than anything else.
Yeah.
I think it saves them a week of will Gaff be dropped. They would have made that call at halftime, basically. Like he reeked of a guy that needed to go and find some form in the waffle. And then Chesser comes in. They need to have a look at Chesser and figure out what he is. He was a major investment for the club. He was their first round pick forever. Mm. And 3 years on, we don't know who he is.
Do you think he still has that 4XL jersey that he took photos in? Or do you reckon
he's got it framed in an 4XL frame?
That has to be in a giant frame in his house somewhere. Just an oversized frame.
For you guys, the positives I took out of Eagles, there wasn't many, but at least in the first quarter, you could see what they were trying to do in terms of the way they were trying to defend and restrict. Like, it was a bit of a slog in the first quarter, but they're just not going to be able to sustain that for four quarters. So it's going to be against a team that looks as hot as you've seen over the last few years. Yep. Like they just look like they're firing all cylinders and it's only round well, third game for them, so round three for GWS, but far out it could get grim quick.
I hope Clay Hall gets picked as a sub this week as well, moving well at training us there. So that would be nice. Another glimpse for Eagles fans.
Absolutely. Watch this space. Now it's time for a bit of
Hardball Bets, brought to you by Tap Touch.
Now, we're not going to mention Jacko and Ice Form because you can probably guess how that went. But Jake Colvin and the bonus better community between you and Nick Rinn the week before, you guys have made a tidy $75 profit from your first two $10 bets. So that's part of the reason why you got invited back today. Basically.
Thanks to Nick Martin. He got bang on 25 touches. Yeah. And just he got that pretty late as well.
I reckon
so
two of them were effective.
but that's not how they draw a picture, just how many. It's just like when you bet on basketball as well. As long as it enters the hoop, doesn't matter how it gets there, as long as it gets there. But I was very happy.
That's right. Okay, so I'm keeping it very simple this week because I'm just looking to cash. I'm just taking anything. Giants by 40 plus, straight up, $1.80. Just give me some cash. It's like moving a big rock. I'm just trying to just push the rock a little bit.
This is the drop and run single into the covers.
It is, yeah. Just trying to get off the mark here. What do you got, Jacko?
I'm going Collingwood at an 8.5 line against St Kilda, backing them to bounce back and go on the line for a bit of extra value, and Sydney by 30.5 against Essendon.
Okay,
at
what's
home,
that home?
They look super sleek. That's 365.
Okay, like it. And Jake, keep us rolling with the bonus bet.
Well,
what do you got?
I'm going to keep to my straight legs. So I've gone GWS at the line, which is 46.5. So I'd suggest probably jumping on that sooner rather than later because that could go above 50.
Might just nudge up a little,
nudge up a bit. Yep. Melbourne at $1.25 against Hawks. I just think it's a nice price. I think they can get the job done against inexperienced Hawks team. And I've gone to Goey just for 20 plus at $1.30. I just think Collingwood are going to need those players to stand up this week. And all of their sort of experienced big game players, they're going to have to play well to, I guess, respond to the harshness of what the sort of media world have been harping on about. So that's $3.06 if you multi all those together.
Okay. We'll look to keep it rolling in the bonus bet. And obviously, chances are you're about to lose, especially if you listen to mine. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Gentlemen, let's get out of here. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Jacko.
Cheers,
thanks, Jake. And thanks to all our listeners. Enjoy your weekend of footy. Chat to you next week.